but I do want to make a disclaimer right up front for our visitors, for our new attenders. This may come as a shock to you. For our regular folks, they're going to be like, yep, we got it, we got it. When I preach and I teach you, okay, I make no claims that I am an authority in my own life on these subjects. Now, for our church at this time, I am our teacher, our prophet, our person. So I should speak from what is going on in my world to you, okay? But as far as talking to you about sin in your life and talking to you about those things, I want to walk you through it, all right? But I am not an authority, nor am I above Satan working and attacking and trying to tear me down in those things. Now, today we're going to talk about parenting, and I'm going to speak to you, as I should, with the authority of the Scripture. Just know, okay, that I don't have this parenting thing down, all right, that I learned as I studied, all right, and that there are going to be people in this room. I know that there are at least two sets of foster parents in this room who have fostered multiple children. And when I say multiple, I'm talking into the double digits, all right? We've got some friends here with 10. They're not foster anymore. They're all theirs. They kept them, all right? State stopped sending them to them because they couldn't get them back, all right? So, just kidding. So, you know, I am not an authority. I am a part of this journey with you. I am learning, and rather than good housekeeping or Vogue or the National Parental Magazine for Sinners, all right, I thought perhaps what I would do is get the Bible out, all right, and find as much as I could for you on this idea of being a parent in a family, all right, and then take all of those from the Old Testament and the New Testament and work through those for you, sorting them out for you, and be able to tell you kind of where they're from, who's speaking, and why, and lay some encouragement out for you. Lay some instruction. Isn't that what Jesus did? He said to the Pharisees, to the Jews, I want to give you instructions. Paul, Timothy, let me instruct you. So that's what's happening today. We are getting some biblical instruction on parenting today, all right? And we're going to start with the gift. You hear me? It's important. The gift of our children. In our church family, we have one or two kids, okay? One or two. Or 100, okay? I was talking to one of our newer attenders on the phone this week, and I'm like, we're outnumbered, okay? We don't attract families here that are like, two adults and one kid. There are a couple of you, don't be offended, all right? But you're outnumbered by a ton, all right? We have one parent, four kids. One parent, five kids. Two parents, seven kids. And then we have the Russells, all right? So, you know, always get to pick on the Russells and the Cormans. It's so fun. And you all are outnumbered today, all right? So you're not the big winners today, you know, with that. But here's what happens, though. With kids running everywhere, does anybody get frustrated? Anybody? Go ahead. With kids that just don't behave or are crying and yelling and screaming, even back in the back, one child was having a meltdown, and that poor mommy is working next door, and she felt terrible. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, what is it that exactly that you're sorry for? Did you wake up this morning and instill in this child that right when they went into the nursery today, they are to yell and scream and cry and throw a fit because you know who's going to be working in it? Did you do that? Of course she didn't. So I said, this happens, all right? Children happen, okay? That's just, they have bad days. But listen to me. We're going to start with recognizing what we're dealing with here. And it is not simply that frustrated child. It is not simply that whining child. It is not simply that needy child or that child without parents. Listen to me. Here's what we're dealing with. Psalm 127:3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. They are children, grandchildren, stepchildren, great, 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 great grandchildren. They are in the lineage, in the line, in the house, in the family of God, and they are a gift. a treasure, a reward. Psalm 139, for I formed you my inward, for you formed my inward part, sorry. You knitted me together in the womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are the works my soul knows well. My frame is not hidden. My being was not made secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me unformed. God took the time to notice you before you existed. And then intricately wove, not just what you see, but everything that you do not see. He took time. The God of the universe took time on our children. And he didn't screw it up. And he handed them to us and he said, here, do well with. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Created, listen, for good works. Created, listen, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Our children are gifts and should be thought of as such. They're treasures and should be seen as such. So as we work through this today, let us please work through it like that. I would be flipping to all these, but I couldn't. All right, we're versing it today. All right, so the most popular parenting verse in the Bible comes next. And then we're going to play it out. Okay? This is one that we all want to rely on. We all want to hope in. We all want to almost use as an excuse sometime. Train a child in the way that they should go. And when he is old, when they are old, when they are grown, they will not depart from it. The greatest struggle I have when I talk to parents, and they're good parents, they're godly parents, they're parents who have said, you know, what have I done? We took them to church. We took them to Bible school. We got them baptized. We, you know, all the way home. And they give me this and they say, is Jesus not going to do what he said? And here's my response every time. Go back to the verse and find where it tells me when. Go back to the verse and find where it tells you when. At age 30, at age 27, at age 50. Where does it say when they will? When they are old. When they are grown, sometime down the road, if you have been faithful in your part, I will be faithful in my part. Here's the second thing you have to understand. Not straying from the will of God may be different from not straying from the will of the mom. Ah. We expected, well, there's your problem. You need to walk in line with God, absolutely. And that should be the goal. But if you walk in line with God every day and you can admit it, raise your hand. You'll mess up today. Because you will have lied, right? That we don't, okay? So we make mistakes. Our children, it happens. But God makes a promise, okay? You also need to understand that this is in a book of wisdom, not in a book of Jesus' commands. This is in a book of things that are wise, okay? It's in the same book that says a dog returns to his vomit. That's true, right? Dogs do return to their vomit. But does every single dog return to its vomit every time? No. In general, this is the case. There are exceptions. Listen, there are exceptions. Sin causes exceptions, folks. But the Bible does say that if we will do this, if we will be faithful to this one purpose, train a child in the way they should go, they will not stray from it. Well, what does that mean? So next, what I've done, we're going to find the verses about training a child and where you're supposed to begin. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with, does anybody know? The sacred writings, which are able to make you wise. Deuteronomy chapter 6, so New Testament and Old Testament. And these words I command shall be on your hearts. You shall teach them diligently unto your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you that I began with this because I think most of us are failing at this. Guess who most of you want to teach your children the Bible? Sigh. Am I wrong? See, here's what most of you will say. I took them to church. I got them baptized. I took them to VBS. Okay, find that in what I just read you. Now let me step on your toes. It is not Cy's responsibility to teach the Bible to your children. It is yours. These new ones that are coming, your first responsibility. Your first responsibility is to ingrain the Word of God into those children. Okay? Thy Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin. This is why the Word is such a passionate and powerful thing here at NBC. Why? Because we want everything to stem from the Word. I could have read you list after list after list of how to parent well. It won't matter. This is how to parent well. Nobody just ever takes the time to put all this together, which is all I'm doing this morning. I'm not doing anything amazing. I'm grabbing it, taking the time to put it together because you don't have the time, and I'm sharing it with you. Does that make sense? So, the first thing that must be done is you are to speak of it in the car. Let me make the verse 2000s. When you're serving your child breakfast, when you're driving in the car, all right? Britt, what did your dad used to do when he took you to school? He would make you quote Bible verses. She told me that early on. Chuck's an amazing dad, an amazing individual, all right? And that's what they would do. They would memorize verses on the way to school. Now, y'all know how I feel. I believe in memorization. I just don't think we have to focus on memorization. I'd rather focus on hungering and thirsting for the Word. I don't want children just to know it like they know the multiplication table. I want them to yearn for it and desire it and see how awesome it can be. I don't want them to experience it monotone. I want them to experience it living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, profitable for teaching, correcting, training, rebuking. When it comes to the discipline that we're going to get to in a minute, where does your discipline come from? Guess where it should come from? The Word. So all of this begins and ends with what is poured into your child. And so the influx into your child ought to be psalms, verses, spiritual songs. Put those earphones that they talk about playing Bach and Beethoven on the pregnant belly, all right? And blast some Tomlin. Blast some Crowder, all right? Get your baby dancing for the Lord, and if you're Baptist and don't like that, get your baby shaking in the water for the Lord, whatever, all right? And whatever it is, all right? But those are Bible verses. We talked about this before. We can go back through all the songs we sang this morning and find scriptures that they are literally quotes of, all right? We used to do a song that all the kids loved called My King is the Rock. In the first verse, everybody thought, well, that's really weird. You know, how do you get that? He appeared in the body, vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, preached among the nations, was believed on by the world, taken up into glory. His name is Jesus. That's a song. No, it's not. It's straight out of the New Testament. Straight. I know scripture now because I know the verse to the song. It's direct. See, you can do this. So when we're eating, when we're drinking, when we're having conversations, what did God go today? What did God teach you in such and such? What did you learn last week? Okay? Teaching the child the scripture. When you walk, when you lie down, when you rise. Okay? Now comes the fun part. I have zero desire to upset any of you. Zero desire for us to not agree on our parenting styles, okay? Hear me out. I'm going to try to stay right here. And if you want to argue with me, then you go back to the scripture and, well, shut up and deal. Okay? Here we go. We're going to talk about discipline. I am not going to differentiate between what we would call corporal punishment, capital punishment, time out. I'm not going to do that right now, okay? But here's what I will say. In general, because of the few, the many have gone away from disciplinary practices. Let me say it again. In general, because of the few, the many have gone away from or are mandated to. We've got social workers sitting in this room. Mandated to go away from. People won't whip their kid because they're like, somebody's going to call, you know, Child Protective Services on me. I don't think that, I think that's wrong. I think it's biblically wrong. And I'm going to show you why I think it is biblically wrong. Listen closely. I have a verse or two. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him will diligently discipline him. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame unto his mother. Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will be a delight from your heart. Proverbs 23:13. Do not withhold discipline. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die. And that has a twofold explanation. He will not die because you hit him, and he will not die because eventually he will learn not to do stupid stuff that will cause him to die. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Some of you have been there. How do I fix this? I'm going to strangle him. Yes, that's what it's talking about. None of you would say, I want to kill my son. But some of y'all have said, I'm going to strangle. That's the same thing. Strangle, kill, kill, strangle. Ah. So, there's a verse or two that talks about this. I will not say, beat your child silly until they are subdued by you. We're going to get to that part, folks. That's not scriptural. Oh, I'm not going to spank him. We do timeout and tablet time. Baloney. I'm calling you on it. Baloney. Now, there are exceptions. Are there parents who are without self-control? Absolutely. God testifies to that in the specific, not in the general. If there are 3 fathers who can't control their temper and 500 who can, you don't change the scripture to support the 3. And this is where I think we have failed. And this is where I think it's been passed down generationally, all right? And we're wondering why our kids do what they do. It's your fault. I mean, I love you. It's your fault. It's my fault. It's our fault because we're afraid our kid won't like us. Well, Hebrews. Before I get on a bandwagon, it is for discipline, listen to me, that you have to endure. The word endure is there for a reason. God understands how difficult it is to take from, to discipline, to beat, to not spare the rod on someone that you love, to see them weep, to see them cry, to see them hurt. It is something that you have to endure, not just in that moment, but for as long as it takes. And for some children, once or twice will do it. For some, it won't, okay? For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Listen to me. The Bible just said if you are afraid to be the parent, to be the disciplinarian, then it literally translates in God's eyes to that child is not even of your blood, of your heart, of your soul. Illegitimate sons. It says it right here. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not be much more subject to the Father of the spirits in our lives? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields peaceful fruit and righteousness. God is saying, I get it. I've been there. I've done that. I've let my son take the punishment. I know what you're going through, but I'm telling you, the end result is way greater. And our need for instant gratification is costing us our children and our grandchildren and our country. Period. For the Lord reproves whom he loves. You see, here's the key. The root of all the discipline is love. And it's not just love in a moment. It is love for a lifetime. And what happens is, We try to love in a moment, and we make the mistake for a lifetime. Anybody ever done that in any other situations? High school, college, dating relationships, love for a moment, changed your life for a lifetime? Come on, girl. What if I told you it's the same with your kids? You're nice for that second. You're nice because you're out in public. Here's what the Bible says about the parents who are out of control. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There is a standard. Colossians, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Let me talk about a couple of things that go on in our world. See if I can't help you out. This word provoke, it's not like, you know, agitate, but it is. It's not like you're trying to cause a reaction out of them. It is to rub against, to grind away at, okay? It means something to the effect of, let's do it this way. Think of your children as actually little humans, and that will help, okay? Let's talk about something that the society is calling the hover mom. I'm not trying to hurt any of you. Let's talk about it for a minute, okay? We have a part of our culture who is very much about, I'm always right there, seconds away. So if my child trips, I snag it. So if somebody comes at my kid that I'm not sure of, I can step in the way. If they're going to get dirt on their nose, I can wipe it off. If they're going to grab a teddy bear and it's this big, but I think they're going to swallow it, I take it away. Now, let me ask you a question. If I spent my life like this with you, while you worked, while you played, while you were in school, how would it go for you? Does this provoke you in any way?
I don't hate it.
Yes, but your wife just said, now this is disturbing. Okay? Do you understand that your child, though they don't know how to express it, feels just like Cameron and more Caroline felt right then? Does that make sense to you? Even though you feel like you're protecting your child, all right, what you are doing is grinding at their becoming. It's the same as not opening an egg. You've heard this when you put eggs in incubators at your school and they try to break out. Y'all are raising chickens now, and they try to break out. And you know, your kid says, oh, it's time. And they crack the egg and they open it up. What's wrong? What's wrong with that? It's not ready. That's right. The process of breaking through the egg is almost like being in a gym for a chicken. All right? Their wings, their legs, their beak are learning how to be used in the outside world. You strip that from them. Same thing. Hover mom, hover dad. You are restricting your child from learning how to exist without you, which is your job. Well, they don't play outside because they might get sick. Well, they don't talk to people because somebody might be rude. Well, we don't let anybody discipline them because they might get hurt. Yeah, if you live your life in might, you're never going to live, period. Period. And then we got, so I don't just pick on moms, then we got the sports dad. Anybody know that guy? They have a three-year-old. Three-year-old. I can't believe you didn't hit that ball out of the park. It's only 270 feet to that fence, son. You didn't swing hard enough. And then you didn't run after the ball and get it because you didn't hit it far enough. Bring it back to the pitcher so he could pitch to you again. I'm sorry, folks. That boy's going to pitch to my boy again so he can hit himself a home run because he's going to be an all-star. We spent $75,000 on the three-year-old travel team on the toddler seats with Cubs written on them. Anybody know that guy? Anybody is that guy? I want to slap that guy. Listen to me. And I am being serious. I don't care if this offends you. That's bad parenting. And I'll say it to their face. Craig, explain to me why. No problem. Because whatever you're pushing them toward will be the center. Because you have instilled in them that whatever you are pushing them the hardest toward is the most important thing. And you've screwed up right there because we're not pushing toward Jesus. Come on. What if we were that passionate about driving and steering our kids toward the center, the real center, Jesus Christ? Where's that mom? Where's that dad? And I'm not talking about King James browbeat. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a lifestyle that says, my daddy loves the Lord so much that it rises up inside of him. My mommy loves Jesus so much that it oozes out of her and people at the ball field notice. And while I've got us on the center, one of the other big mistakes that we can make as parents for the same reason is this. When Britt and I were getting ready to have Tyler, we found a book called Baby Wise, okay? And some of you have probably heard of it. Some of you might like it. Some of you might not. It's an average book. Okay, there's my opinion. It's average, okay? But there were two things in the book that struck me as really, really amazing, okay? And we're going to talk about, this is going to lead me to my next point. The one thing was a schedule, okay? Eat, sleep, wake, eat, sleep, wake, eat, sleep, wake, eat, sleep, wake. And you could vary it within a couple of hours, okay? That's pretty cool. And what that does is that literally helps your child sleep through the night sooner. It worked for us. 9 weeks and 7 weeks, okay? The second thing was that the child doesn't become the son, S-U-N. You know what that means? Everything does what? Revolves around the child. Can I tell you something? Bad parenting. Do you know why? Because God's no longer the center. The child is. What does that look like? Everything that you do, everything that your life used to... Listen, don't come to me and say, Craig, you said my life shouldn't change after you have a kid. Your life will change drastically after you have a kid. You will sleep less. You will eat less. Your clothes will smell funky. They just do, all right? But here's what I'm saying. When everything that you used to do, everybody that you used to see, everything that you used to schedule changes because you have that child. Uh-uh. Do you know what that does? That from an early age tells the child where they are and what's most important, and they will use it and abuse it in the future. I'm the middle. I can make mommy or daddy do whatever I want to because I'm the middle. You know what we didn't do? If Tyler was supposed to be sleeping and we were supposed to get... I've heard people doing this. We can't schedule this plane flight to go see mom on Thanksgiving. Why? Because it's sleep time. And so I'm going to get a different flight time because... Oh, no, no, no. Cassandra, that you're like, oh, I did that. All right, listen to me. We can't go to church because... Stop that. There is a difference between consistency and rigidity. And I'm loving you when I say this. There's a huge difference between consistency and rigidity. Don't do that. Let them learn flexibility, but when you look back over the course of a month, if it looks like this, it shouldn't. But if it looks like this, and you see it from a 16-year picture instead of from a one-day picture, you realize that you have been what? Consistent. You realize that you've been consistent. Which leads me to this. We have it, and I see it everywhere. A ton of people who are struggling with, why does my child act out? Why does my child seem frustrated? All right? And I have a buddy who's a pastor who also works with fathers who are not allowed to be around their children at this point in time. And we were sitting the other day, and I said three words, and he said a fourth, and we kind of Oh, man, this is good. And I want you to listen. Close your eyes and hear them first. Close your eyes. Consistency, confusion, frustration, anger. Listen again. Consistency, confusion, frustration, anger. Now open your eyes. Kids do not have the capacity to explain their emotions the way some adults do. Okay? So here's what happens. When you discipline a child for this thing in this location, you do not discipline that child for that same thing in this location. You discipline it for that child in this location for something that's almost the same, but I get by with that thing if I'm in this location. That is not consistency. And one of the biggest irks for me personally, and one of the biggest places I see it, is when parents don't want to be parents around other people. We think that because the baby's crying or the baby's being noisy or the baby's being belligerent, we'll say this line, they're just a baby. No, they're not. They are a baby, but they're also your baby. Now, Craig, did you just say I'm not allowed to let my kid cry? That's not what I said. That's not at all what I said. I'm saying when a kid gets candy because they're crying in the line at the Kroger so that you can shut them up, they are the parent. Do you know why? Because they got what they wanted because you couldn't handle it. And that irks me. It irks me deeply because you're setting up something where they are the boss. All right? I've been talking to another group of people, and they're not going to mind that I say this. One of the parents in our congregation, she's out here right now, was working on just patience, because we all need that. And it was awesome. They got to the point where they were like, I've really learned when my child goes nuts, I've gotten calm. But here's what they were doing. They were walking away, okay, breathing in, getting their bearings. Now, I see you nodding, and all of us are like, awesome, good work. It is awesome, good work, except it's wrong. Do you know why? Do you know what that child knows how to do now? I can send mommy wherever I want, whenever I want. Think about it. The reaction is, if I throw a fit, mommy goes, and goes into Lamaze and ends up outside somewhere. Cool. Who's controlling who? Do you see? I want to help, so I want to point these things out to you. I have two children. I get that when you're at Applebee's and your kid is being belligerent and they're yelling and screaming, that what you want to do is just pacify and move on. Here's what I'm telling you. Bite it. Be the adult. Hit the restroom. Pick up the child and take them out. Forfeit your dinner that night. Show your other children that you will forfeit your dinner that night. But this happens all the time. It won't if you do it two or three times. They will learn that this is how we don't eat. They will learn. You have got to be consistent. Now, Craig, things come up. I've already explained that, folks. Things do come up. Roll with it. Flexibility, but consistency. I'm sweating, so this is sticking. All right. There's a lot more I'd like to say, but we're going to come back. Okay? Let me encourage you. Okay? If you see really laid-back parents, most of the time you see really laid-back kids. If you see high-stress parents, guess what? They're going to raise high-stress kids. Look around at the people that you know, even the lovely, wonderful people in our congregation who are all different. The ones that fret and stress about things, their children are stressed and fretting about things in school, out of school, at home. The ones that are real laid back, chill, their babies, their children, are pretty laid back and chill. It's not always the case, but it's pretty darn close. Trust me. I see all y'all every week. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Start your day by seeking the throne and letting him know that you know that he's in control, and there's nothing that you can do to make the world spin the other way. It's not your job to bring the sun up or make the sun go down, bring the tide in or out. It's your job to love and discipline the child, take care of the finances, take care of the home, take care of the wife, take care of the babies that God honored you with. But don't worry about it. Well, but that's hard, easier said than done. You bet your bottom dollar it is. All of the things God calls us to do is easier said than done. That's why he gave his Son and his Holy Spirit to help us out. If we could do them on our own, we wouldn't need him now, would we? Matthew 6:34, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If you're already fretting about kindergarten and your baby is one, you're doing it wrong. If you are already fretting about the sports team and whether they're going to make the play in high school, you're doing it wrong. What does your baby need today? Does it need discipline? Are they out of control? Then love them enough to give it to them and say, God, help me today so that something will be different tomorrow. Lamentations. I know, right? Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy for us, good and bad parenting, never comes to an end. They are, and this is great, parents, come on, they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Can I tell you something? If I've stepped on your toes tonight, tomorrow's a new day. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. I'm telling you because I care about Mo, I care about Tyler, I care about Bracey, I care about Jacob, I care about Matthew and Joey. I'm telling you because I care that your life runs the way God wants it to run. I do. Are we all going to get it right? Me first. Not going to happen. But are we all going to do it together? And if we stick with the Bible standards, are we going to be okay? You bet. You bet. We are going to be okay. We are. Be encouraged. You can spank your child. You can discipline your child. You can take a big trip that you promised away from your child. You can set a standard, and if they don't reach it, don't back off. Don't back off. If you say you're not going to get it, they don't get it. Even no matter how good they are, no matter how much they can, they don't get it. Be consistent. Early, late, noon, night, restaurant, Kroger, home, grandparents, and ask the people around you to do the same. Yeah, I understand that grandmas are grandmas. They didn't like eat, sleep, wake. We know that. So we didn't take them. No. We just did it when we had it, and we understood that 2 days from now, it'll be okay. Yes, there's a wean time, but it happens. It always happens. Get on the same page, mom and dad. Okay? I get it. We're trying to get on the same page, mom and dad. We quadding this thing, all right? I get it. But let's do it together, okay? I wish we could do questions, but we can't. I want to pray for you, and then we got something real important we're going to do before we sing. Dear Jesus.